Today in our hot seat, we have Burcu Demirös. I hope I didn't butcher that name. The CEO and co-founder of Helico. Welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Nice to have you, Burcu.
Welcome to C-Suite Hot Seat, the show where we put C-level executives from language service providers of all sizes in the hot seat. We will ask tough questions and get inspired answers. Our hosts today are Nimzi's Inga Boonen, Chief Growth Officer, and Sarah Hickey, VP of Research.
Can you tell us in one sentence, what is it that Helico does?
Helico gives translation and interpretation services and some other language-related services. So not a big surprise, we are an LSP.
Understood. And were languages something that you dreamt of when you were a child? Did you expect to end up in this role? And what was the first career that you actually dreamt of when you were a kid?
When I was a kid, I actually didn't like foreign languages that much. I liked interior design and creating things. So I was thinking about becoming an architect. Then at high school, I thought that I wanted to open my own translation and interpretation company. I have an image of an interpreter on a TV show, and there was like a flashing desire in myself to be there and to be that interpreter. And then from a point of view, when I knew myself, namely what I wanted to do in this life, I thought that maybe I can have a company, have a team, become, you know, do more and better if that's possible. So that was combined with translation and interpretation and became this now.
Wow, I can say.
When you're not working, how do you like to spend your time?
I like spending a lot of time in nature, doing my hobbies with friends and family. I do paragliding. And my company's name is actually named after an acrobatic maneuver in paragliding. Other than that, I like drawing, singing, doing something by myself. Maybe because I like drawing, I can think, okay, I'm going to draw this wall today in my home. So that's what I do when I don't work.
Oh, that's fun.
That's amazing.
Did you decorate a lot?
I really like to change where things are positioned because I get really bored when they stay there for a long time. So not really decorating, I can say, but, you know, I like changing things.
Rearranging.
Yeah, rearranging.
Nice. I believe that you said that at the moment it's not easy for you to travel. Is that something that you like? And if in the future you could travel again, are there some countries that you would definitely want to go to?
Well, before the pandemic, I was given that chance of constantly traveling, and I will choose actually one long distance destination and plus one or two other countries that are closer to where I live. Before the pandemic, I visited Japan, and it opened up a new horizon in my mind. I also visited Singapore, Malaysia, Thailand, and other numerous European countries and other countries. And I think that each and every destination added something new to the person who I am now. So that's what I can say. But, you know, back to your question, if pandemic changes its phase sometime in the near future, yeah, I'm really planning to. I actually had a bucket list and it's still there to be completed.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, I wish that you can travel soon again then. And yeah, the last question on my end is, what's the best piece of advice that you've ever been given?
Best is something big, but I can say that My mom is a psychologist and my dad is a teacher. And I think maybe I am biased, but they are both are successful advice givers. And I cannot think of a perfect advice for now, but with everything they did, they taught me very well to give the best efforts I could, even in the worst situation. And I'm just trying to do that. Maybe I can say, don't hesitate, just give your best in whatever you do. Don't wait for opportunities to come to you and just perform, and the opportunities will hit your face. And if I may actually give an advice to someone, maybe like a lifetime motto, that will be make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, amazing. Yeah. Love it. Thank you so much.
Nice. I like that. Okay, Borchu, I feel like we know you a little bit better already. And so we're going to move on to the tougher questions now, because this was too easy so far.
Okay.
Okay. It's more rare that we actually have a co-founder here as well. It's not uncommon. We've had a few, but not every day. So I wanted to ask you, what inspired you to start your company?
As I told you, that was something that I dreamt of at high school when I selected the language department. Maybe I can mention a little bit about that. In Turkey, at some stage at high schools, we are given a chance to select departments, and which kind of determines our path in our lives. Because if you select a language department, becoming a, for example, practitioner or lawyer is ruled out for you. So even at those times at high school, I wanted to have a team and grow bigger. But you don't just wake up one day and say to yourself, today I will start a company, if you cannot see what's coming next. I was already a translator and an interpreter who was working hard, and I had a lot of projects and I couldn't handle all of them. So as you could understand, I had to tell my clients that I have a team. And even when I didn't actually have a team, I had some linguist friends. I assigned some of my job to them, and that was when I started. But in about 2011, between 2013 and 11, I was told by a company that I worked with for a long time that they were going to receive some millions of words of an Amazon project. And they asked me if I could handle it with my team. And I said yes, but a part of me didn't believe in that. Until I could actually sell thousands of files in my inbox. That was a moment of stopping and asking myself, okay, what I'm going to do now. My partner and husband now was my boyfriend then, and he helped me to contact all the Turkish companies, Turkish LSPs that I used to work with. Get projects from, and we divided the whole job into smaller pieces and assigned it to different companies, to teams. So all of a sudden, all freelance linguists I additionally called was saying, okay, thank you, I got this job already from another company. That was strange. So back then, what I can also add, we didn't have online CAT tools. So commonly used, Amazon jobs were also being given in offline trade-offs. That meant a lot of work on our side because I and my partner had to engage any good quality translator we had in this project. So that was a day and night work. That was a cause of inspiration.
Yeah. Sounds like it, but it sounds also like, yeah, you really jumped on that opportunity and, you know, made it happen following your own advice now, you know?
Yeah, we could say that.
Yeah. And I mean, to be honest, it's not too uncommon, right? That we go from, you know, your one woman or man operation, and then you involve others because you get more work. And yeah, it sounds like a very exciting opportunity. It sounds like that was maybe your first breakthrough then as well. I'm just guessing, but it sounds like you came out successful, right? With a big challenge. So I'm wondering, basically, how did it feel as well? Was it scary to start your own business, or were you just, you know, kept that positive mindset that you described earlier?
We can actually call it a breakthrough, I guess, but I just cannot see anything as a breakthrough in my whole career, because lots of things happened. I cannot mention about a moment that, you know, taught me everything. But I learned smaller pieces from anything that I did. And I can say that I generally work hard and cannot stop working until I complete the whole work. Because otherwise, you know, I feel that there's something missing there. After feeling exhausted from working hard for a long time, I realized that then at a moment I shouldn't get involved in the projects in a translation process. I mean, I shouldn't open the files and do anything with them. And I should focus on growing my business so I can maybe call it a breakthrough.
Mm-hmm. I see what you mean as well, though, that it's more of a continuation of the progress, right? So,
yes.
And yeah, since you mentioned also profitability and growing your business, as a CEO, of course, you spend a lot of your time on that. But aside from profitability, what are the three main things that you spend your time on at work?
One of the things that I spend most of my time is trying to create the best team that I can have, finding the best people, teaming up with them, improving them, being patient, giving them some time to improve themselves, letting them fail and learn without causing any serious harm. This is, you can relate to that, I guess. This is one out of three things I spend most of my time. Secondly, creating a company culture, and maybe thirdly, creating a company structure that can last long.
You mentioned the importance of also letting your team fail. Yeah. Then looking at yourself now, what was the biggest like failure that you recall from your career, and what have you learned from it?
I remember failing many times. I've had many small failures, such as about trusting people, jumping into something quickly, just because I wanted to do it quickly. I wanted it to happen quickly. I learned from my failures, and I think that failures are quite essential. Successful people, I think, to my opinion, are those people who are not afraid to fail maybe 1,000 times.
Absolutely. It's part of learning. I agree. And yeah, it makes sense, as you're saying, you learned a lot of different lessons along the way. So then maybe on the flip side, do you recall like maybe something that you would call like your biggest success, or how do you measure success in your business?
Not doing the same thing over and over again and again. If, for example, every year I and my team put some goals to ourselves and we try to achieve them. If we, you know, find ourselves in the same position each year, then that means that we are not doing enough. So I think success maybe can mean, as we said, failing many times, but not being afraid of trying out new things and setting goals and walking on a path that will take you to the ultimate goal. Maybe you cannot go there. Maybe you cannot find yourself there, but you know, having the courage to walking that road, that path.
Do you recall something like, what was maybe the most innovative thing you've ever done? Or if it's not the most innovative thing, but just a project where you can say that, you know, you did something different, you know, you came up with a new solution, just something where you were being a bit more innovative.
I think, well, what I understand from innovation is something different, but if we have to call it innovation, I think I find our team in the most innovative period of time of ourselves this year, especially by the end of this year, because now we have a main team and I don't only make any decisions by myself, and depending on what we all want for our lives, for ourselves, for our future, we now know better what we want to do with our team. So we should act faster now. If we have to, you know, rearrange our team, then we are doing it. If we have to add new people, then we are doing it. If we have to change things, then we are doing it. And we have, I can say that we are becoming braver.
Mm-hmm. And not afraid to make changes and break out of the routine as well.
That's right. Yeah. Act.
Yeah. And I know you already gave some advice at the beginning of this call, but just in case, usually my last question is, what advice would you give to young entrepreneurs starting their own business in the language industry today? So is there anything more you would like to add?
Entrepreneurship is a very big deal, I think, because it definitely requires a person to constantly step out of the comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And for a person to be able to do that, that person needs to know what they're doing. You know, if you have some missing information knowledge, then you cannot easily step out of the comfort zone. So to be able to do that, maybe I can say that you should get educated, get informed to the utmost level, then you shouldn't be afraid of stepping out of the comfort zone. That's what I can say. And also repeat that maybe motto kind of sentence, make it happen.
Yes, and you certainly did. Thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Buthu, for joining us in the hot seat. And we hope that you didn't sweat too much.
A little bit.
A little bit.
You felt the heat, yeah.
If anyone else feels like letting off some steam and you're part of the C-suite at a company in the language services industry, do sign up with us if you dare to sit in the hot seat.
And for the viewers and listeners, thank you so much for watching and tuning in. And look out for the next episode that will be published as a video on Multilingual TV and as a podcast on the NIMSY website. We'll see you there.